Very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 16th October 2018, Tuesday class. So now we get ready for puja. Let us recall to mind all of the wholesomeness that we have developed, and then develop the faith in the Buddha and his teaching, Sadha, Virya. Then mindfully we shall commence the puja. Namo Bansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Milofo. Namo Milofo. Namo Milofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava. Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you can be seated. Turn to page 1 of the chanting book. We shall chant the Vandana onward. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dityampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Dityampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surameraya majjhapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Now we are chanting the Padipa Puja, offering of light. Ganna sarapa dittena dittena tamadang sina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang Gandha sambara yutena dopena hang sugang hina ujaye pujaniyang tang puja bacana mutamang vanna gandha gono petang etang kusuma santatin pujayami munindas siri pada sarorohe pujemi buddhang kusumena nena punnena mattena ca hotu mokang pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tatayati vinasa bhavang adivasetu no bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivasetu no bante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivasetu no bante bojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Okay, now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear dump that cools fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of all karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soonest possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Then number 7, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect, Triple Gem. Buddhang pujayami. Dhammang pujayami. สังหังพุทเจมิโอเค you all can be seated then we can have half an hour of meditation we are off the light for those who already know how to meditate you just go ahead just relax body and mind completely then silence your mind that's what meditation is basically all about then you can just relax and aware that is meditation only the awareness the silent mind can meditate nothing else so it depends on your progress if you have developed the spiritual faculty you can just go into the meditation very fast there is no more mental hindrance to hinder you but if your mental hindrance are still there then your it shows that your spiritual faculty is still not stable then there will be mental hindrance to make you heedless to arise the mental hindrance so that you cannot be in the meditative state so in that case you got a few choice you can either relax into it then allow it to be otherwise you'll find it not easy to deal with the heedless thinking the mental hindrance then you can just use the third way that the Buddha teach just aware of whatever mental state that arise if thought arise let it arise means there is this restlessness of mind if the mind is restless thinking creating a lot of sankhara means it is a mental hindrance so let it be don't fight it don't suppress it don't try to do anything about it just be aware and let things be these are condition arising state dependent originating mind state they are there because you lack the spiritual faculties so with this understanding you just allow it to be then all this thinking will slow down until finally it become very quiet that's what meditation is all about the original state of your true mind is already stillness silent peacefulness just aware then the other way is to use the mind sweeping method to decondition the heedless thinking then later on combine loving kindness or metta to develop the peaceful mind the quiet mind the well-being within you then when you are able to decondition your heedless thinking and develop the metta the well-being then you can just stabilize that mind state by using whatever object of meditation that you are familiar with. If you don't have any object of meditation, then try anapanasati, mindfulness of the in and out breath. Just silence everything, relax, maintain attention at the nostril. Then when you can detect the breathing, the mind just follow. Breathing in, the mind is aware. Then breathing out, the mind is aware. Just train yourself this way. Then this sati will come to be. And when sati come to be, it can stabilize. Then when it stabilizes, you will feel a lot of calmness, peacefulness. You will start to experience the spiritual calmness, spiritual peacefulness, or they call PT. Sometimes people call it the spiritual rapture. You experience a mind that is very peaceful. It's like joy, spiritual joy, calmness that develop the joy. Then your mind like rapture. There's a lot of joy. And as you continue to relax and silent, and maintain the mindfulness and relax into it, then it will transform to become something more refined. Then you can experience what they call sukhang. Sukhang is blissfulness of mind. The mind become very blissful, very quiet, still. Then you can experience long breath. Like the breath is very clear, but every in breath and every out breath is like very last much longer than normal. Then as you are able to develop the anapanasati, the mind will go into a type of calmness or absorption. Then you can be absorbed into it, but don't go in too deep. Every time you get into absorption, relax. Relax. Relax into the mind so that it will not develop into apana samadhi. It will be just at the threshold. Means there is still awareness, clarity. This is called upachara samadhi. You can just stay at the excess concentration. Then relax into everything. Then you will experience the slowing down of the breathing. Then as it slows down, later on you will become very quiet, very subtle, like no more breathing. So when you experience this, it's a sign of good progress. But don't panic, don't go and do anything else. Just silent everything and just maintain the awareness. Initially it's not easy, like there is nothing for you to hold on to. Then like there is no breathing, nothing. It's okay. You just continue to silent there. Then not long, as your mindfulness become more refined, you can detect even the subtle breathing, the very short breath. Or sometimes it's the internal breathing. The very subtle internal breathing, the very short internal breathing. But because your mindfulness is so much more refined, it can't even detect that. Then you realize your mind can be so quiet and still at that unmoving location in front of your nostril there. Then this mind will enter sati. When it enters sati, means your mind is already in sati. You don't have to train. You don't have to do anything. Then this mind is so sensitive. There is awareness. There is clarity. Then wherever you locate the mind, it can pick up whatever vibration or movement there. So like you go down to your heart area, you don't need a stethoscope. That mind that has that refined mindfulness can be aware of many things. Whatever vibration or even your heartbeat, they are like magnified, very clear. Then you just relax into it and continue to develop the mindfulness of whatever movement. The breath and the mind move as one. Then now you move it to your heart area. The whatever heartbeat or vibration, the awareness is with the phenomena. Just stay quiet. Then this mind will settle down and become the silent mind. Then you can realize your true mind later on. Then when you can do that, you can really develop the meditation very well after that. But it is the silent mind that meditate, that can be aware of anything. And wherever the senses, your physical senses, five major physical senses together with your brain, the six sense organ, upon contact with mind, they can give rise to their respective mind consciousness. So you will be aware of seeing consciousness, hearing consciousness, smell, taste, tactile, and thought consciousness. And when you are aware, this is how meditation begins. The awareness of this will give you the wisdom, the understanding. You will start to understand who you are, what you are, and how you function as a human being. Then you will see all the beautiful essential Dhamma that the Buddha taught. Especially the Paticca Samuppada dwelling. Then you also start to experience the spiritual faculties, the seven factors of enlightenment, the five spiritual faculties, the five mental hindrances, then also the Four Noble Truths. So all this, you can develop the understanding. And when you are able to stabilize that silent mind, until one day it has the ability to awaken or to insight into phenomena. So any of the sense door consciousness can trigger off awakening or understanding. Okay, I will let you develop the meditation on your own. Then after when the half an hour is up, I will ring the bell. still wants to meditate, you can continue. For those who have enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed for as long as you can. Then make use of all this trained mind state to develop your meditation in daily life, accumulating into daily mindfulness or heedfulness. Okay, now turn to page 6. We will chant the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities and devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakawalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Sattamam Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokkadam Dhamma Sabanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Sabanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Sabanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atas Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Namo Atas Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Namo Atas Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Iti peso bhagava arahan sama sambuddho Vijja charana sampanno sugato lokavido Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Opanayiko Pachatang Veditabo Venohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Samichi patipano bhagavato savaka sangho Yadidang chatari purisa yukani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato savaka sangho Ahoneyo, pahoneyo, dakeneyo, anjali karaneyo, anuttarang punyaketang lokasati. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect to Triple Gem. UJM. Sanghang Pujayami. Okay, you can be seated. Just relax body and mind. Then we will continue from where we stopped. We were at page 385 of the book, The Buddha and His Teaching by Venerable Narada. We are at chapter 21. Just put here, No need so near, Okay. Okay, turn to page 381. Chapter 22. Chapter 21 on here. Okay. Nature of karma, correct. Cause of adverse result. So even if you develop wholesome karma, you also have to be very careful. Don't assume you have done a lot of good things, then your good karma is there. But let's say if you do certain goodness, then due to your delusion, later on you regret. You say, "Ah, you're stupid. I shouldn't have done it. I shouldn't have made that offering. All this, I could have used it for better purposes." Then the effect on the karmic action that you have developed is very severe and very detrimental. I read to you some of this example that was given in this book, then you will understand. So, cause of adverse result, why this adverse result come about. Normally, law of karma is like that. If you do good, it begets good. But any subsequent, the word is subsequent, after that if you regret on the part of the doer in respect of the good done, will deprive him of the due desirable result. This is something about karma that you have to understand. And this one, there was no condition to share with you all. That's why I seldom mention this. Because for most cultivator, you won't do this type of foolish thing. It's only for deluded people, non-cultivator. So there was a case study. The following case may be cited in illustration. On one occasion, King Pasenandi of Kosala approached the Buddha and said, "Lord, here in Savatthi, there was a millionaire, a householder, means lay person. He has just died. He has left no son behind him. And now I come here after having conveyed his property to the palace. Lord, 100 lakhs in gold, to say nothing of the silver," means silver is a lot more. "But this millionaire householder, he used to eat broken scraps of food and sour gruel. And how did he clothe himself?" the Buddha asked. "For dress, he wore a robe of coarse hem, and as to his coach, he drove in a broken down cart, rigged up with its leaf awning." Thereupon the Buddha explained, you listen, this one you have to listen. "Even so, O King, even so. Because in the former life, O King, this millionaire householder gave alms of food to a Pacheka Buddha called Takarasiki." See, the Buddha, because of his super normal ability, the omniscient, fully enlightened one, he can see not only his own past lives, until the very beginning of the first dawn of ignorance. He can even see others. So the moment the king mentioned that he can check and he knew, then he told the king, he said, this particular householder give alms food to a Pacheka Buddha called Takarasiki. See, even the name of the Pacheka Buddha also he can name it to you. Then later what he did, he regretted or repented of having given the food, saying within himself, see, you just chatter inside your own mind only, you cannot really. He said, it would be better if my servant and workmen ate the food I gave for alms. And beside this, he deprived his brother's only son of his life for the sake of his property and became this millionaire householder. Gave alms of food to the Pacheka Buddha. So this is how, if you are not careful, you can really get into trouble. You never know who you make offering to. That cultivator, I tell you, he's a Pacheka Buddha, and yet you don't know. Then next page. Tagarasi, he, in requital for his deed, he was reborn 7 times in heaven, the blissful state. And by the residual result of the same action, he became 7 times a millionaire in this very Savati town. You just imagine, make one offering of alms to a Pacheka Buddha. The fruition of it is so powerful. But provided you don't go and regret it, and go and think all the nonsense. That's why you don't think the thought has no impact on your karma. Thought has a lot of impact on your karma. In this case, it's just a wrong thought, isn't it? You remember last time I shared with you, in order to develop the highest karmic merits, what must you do? What are the 3 criteria? The highest gift. What are the 3 criteria? Those who have heard of it under Abhidhamma, you will know. No. There are 3 things. Somanasa sahagatam, nyaya samayutang, asangkalikang. What are they? The Buddha say, in order to receive the highest merits for a alms giving, means you make an offering or a donation. These 3 things are very important. So, somanasa sahagatang, I like the Bahasa version, sumwa masa sahagatang, means what? At all time, before you do, when you do, and after you do, you must have joy. Understand? Sahagatang, joy. This fellow, after he do, he regret. Not only no joy. Regret is an evil root, it's a delusion. That's like backfire. You can be a millionaire and with all the gold, silver, everything, but you don't get to enjoy it. He eat that type of crappy food, wear that type of crappy clothing. Why? Because your regret conditioned you to be like that. And some people, they are very wealthy, very rich, but they are you call that what? Jamsiap, miser, is it? Miser or miser? Miser, is it? But they are very kedukut, they don't even pamper themselves or use the money for their own. They are very, very stingy, you call that stingy. Stingy means you don't want to spend on people. You don't want to pay for people's meal or like cheng and they seek fun. In English, what you call? Treat. You don't want to treat people. But this one is worse though. He didn't even want to treat himself. Understand? Pamper himself. Means use his wealth for his own happiness and joy, or the loved one and all things. Because of karmic, understand? So they develop this style of character and personality because last time they regretted it. So somanasa sahagatang is very important. That's like have joy, understand? Before you do, when you do, and after you do. That's why I learn to sadhu, 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 understand? Every time I got envy, jealousy, ayo, this guy get to offer, I don't get to offer. How can he do that? Yeah? Who is the organizer? Why is he so inconsiderate? Are you happy already, I tell you. Whatever good intention is all counter-effective. That's why you must have good mind state. Dhamma is about wisdom, virtue, kindness, understanding, goodness, no negativity. Yeah. Then what is jnana? Jnaya sambayutang. Jnaya means wisdom. Means you do this action of offering with understanding. When you do it with understanding or wisdom, it is a very, very high meritorious action. Understanding means when got conditioned to do, you do. Understand? And you know this is conducive for wholesomeness. Not only you make that offering. When you make that offering with a good mind, with an understanding of the Buddha's meaning of synergy between the householder and the Sangha. Because the Sangha depend on the support of the householder. Because they cannot work. They don't have a salary. They are monks. They renounce the world to cultivate. And they have to go and Pindapata means they take the alms bowl and they go for alms offering, giving you the condition to make offering to them because they are worthy of offering. It's a very fertile ground for developing wholesomeness or meritorious action or meritorious activity. So all these are important understanding. So somanasa sahagatang means at all time you must have joy. Nyaya sambayutang means you must do with wisdom, understanding. Then what is the last one? Asangkarikam. What is the meaning? You mean you don't know? Anybody know? Asankalikam means spontaneous. You do it spontaneously. Some people call it unprompted. You look in the book, the Abhidhamma, they will say prompted and unprompted. Prompted means somebody prompt you, understand? Tell you, hey, this one very good. You better go and make offering. Means prompted. But first time you don't understand, prompted you do, correct, then it's like you strike some lucky draw because people prompt you to do. Yeah. But later on, when you have the understanding already, you will do it spontaneously because you do with joy. You see the condition and there is joy. That's why you just want to do because your nature wants to do. That's it, finish. So when you have this type of good mind state, good understanding, all of your actions are beautiful. Then it won't backfire. Okay? Any question? You just raise your hand. Then we pass you the cordless mic. Otherwise, we read on. And because this millionaire householder repented of having given alms, saying to him, it would be better if my servant and workmen ate the food. Therefore, as a requital for his deed, he had no appreciation for good food, no appreciation for fine dress, no appreciation of an elegant vehicle, no appreciation of the enjoyment of the five senses. So karma is very, very unique. It manifests in such unique way. That's why you don't have the understanding. You can never understand how come, like the King Pasenadi asked the Buddha, he said, Lord, this person, he just died. And we were so surprised that he got so much wealth. 100 lakhs of gold must be a lot of gold. Recently, we had one famous Malaysian also, landed in Dhaka. You all don't know the latest news. He also have a lot of gold, equivalent to 1.7 million of gold, but caught by the custom there. So this one, what karma you think he has? He can have so much gold, and yet he bring it in. Dhaka is the capital of Pakistan, and he was caught. So you got 1.7 million. Why you go and buy gold and bring to Dhaka and get caught? You mean all this money you cannot put in the bank? Must put where? Corrupt money. Wow, Queenie, you so smart. Very fast you learn. Corrupt money. I don't know. Have to ask the person. Why he do that? Anybody got any idea or not? You smuggle gold, got advantage or not? I think gold in Pakistan and gold in Malaysia also same price there. There is a world benchmark for gold. So why do you want to bring gold over? You want to bring cash over, understandable, understand? Oh, they like gold. Oh, maybe easy to change to money over there. Oh, the price is better. Oh, so they want to make the difference. Maybe. We should thank Freddy. I didn't know Bangladeshi like gold. If they like gold, maybe like certain country. You go there, they don't want their own currency. They want US dollar. So you bring US dollar, they exchange with you much more than the market rate. Because they don't believe their own currency. So last time during the early day, I remember, I used to hear my mother tell me, hey, go back to, that time was still communist China, I think the early 60s and the 70s. He used to go back to China. He said, he go and change Hong Kong dollar. Then she will buy some electrical goods from Hong Kong. And together with the Hong Kong dollar, she will go back to her hometown in China. And it seems that when he was in Hong Kong, when she was in China, the Hong Kong dollar was so popular. He could change the Hong Kong dollar, I think, almost 30% higher than the exchange rate that is normally transacted now. Because the people in China that time, China hasn't opened up. So the renminbi, you can't really use to buy things, because the whole of China is so poor. So if you got Hong Kong dollar, you can go Hong Kong and buy goods and buy things. So my mother, you know what she did? She also illiterate, but she know how to do business. She go and sell the Hong Kong dollar, sell the electronic good, and also the watch. Well, one person is allowed one household type of thing and personal watch. So she sell them, collect all the renminbi. But you bring out renminbi, no use or no. You understand? You know how my mother make money or not? All the relative, before she go back, she already asked, who wants to send money to your relative? You're all same hometown one. So everybody will give her the name list, address and all those things. So he go there, he use the renminbi. This family come, your relative send you money. You must sign on that piece of paper. Then my mother bring back the paper with their letter. Then they will pay my mother in Malaysia. So she collect ringgit. She like money changer. During that time, every time I go back China, she make money, you know. And the passage is free. You know. She go by ship. Ship. So I didn't know until my mother explained to me. They said, you illiterate, you know. And she only know Hakka. You know. She don't know any other dialect. You know. And she can go China and come back. You know. What she need from me was the English address and the telephone number. If she got problem, she will show people, call this number. Or, this is the place I want to go, my home. So she managed. And it was how she did. And she did with a lot of joy. My hometown there, a lot of people, mainly Hakka also, they were from the same province. So they like my mother to help to bring money back. There's very few people there to travel back to China. And they don't have the means also. So my mother, because every 2 or 3 years, she want to make one trip back to make sure her mother is still okay. Her brothers, her sister, and the family members are still okay. Then also, of course, my dad's side, my dad's brother and family there. So she did this every, I think, 2 to 3 years. Then sometimes, if she's busy, it will be 5 years, at an interval of 5 years. So these people need people like my mother help to do that. Otherwise, because last time, no TT, you know, no bank account, nothing. So how to send money? You have to trust somebody, relative or want to go. So that's how they do it. Why did I tell you all this? Related to what? Bangladesh gold, isn't it? But then why about my mother thing? Oh, no. It's because people who know how to do this type of trade, and Freddie mentioned about gold popular in Bangladesh. So my mother also know Hong Kong dollar popular in China and the electrical good, because with renminbi, they cannot buy. So when you bring this back, they pay you so much higher than what she bought in Hong Kong. Because they save the passage to go to Hong Kong. And then Communist China that time, very difficult to get visa to go overseas. So they really pay for it. A lot of them, especially government official, I think they have money. Somehow they have money. Okay, so this part you have to make a note. Whenever you do wholesome action, don't be like this householder. Okay? Okay. So according to the Buddha, the karmic, when he hit back, he will not get to enjoy his wealth because he don't appreciate that wholesomeness. So when you don't appreciate, you also don't appreciate the wealth that you receive. That's why you cannot use it. And because this millionaire householder slew the only son of his brother for the sales of his property. What is the meaning of slew? Cheater. S-L-E-W. What is the meaning? Jin Hong. Oh, murder. Kill our mother. Oh. Wow, that is serious. That type of karma. For the sake of his property, as requital for this deed. And he had to suffer many years, many hundreds of years, many thousands of years, many hundreds of thousands of years of pain instead of misery. So don't be greedy. When you are greedy, you do this, he go and kill and misappropriate his wealth. he has to suffer for so long, hundreds of thousands, many hundreds of thousands of years of pain in the state of misery. And by the residue of that same action, he is without a son for the seventh time. And in consequence of this, has to leave his property to the royal treasury. What is the royal treasury? Government confiscate. Understand? Go back to state revenue. It's just like enclave money. Enclave money or go back. So, all this you still wanna, you don't get to use. Someone will have to donate back to the state treasury. That's why never worthwhile to violate karma and do all this nonsense. Be heedful, be mindful, take care of your mind state. Your thinking, your thought is very powerful. That's why don't simply think. Don't go and think the wrong thought. Even regret, remorse, and all those things. Terrible. This millionaire obtained his vast fortune as a result of the good action done in a past birth. But since he repented of his good deed, he could not fully enjoy the benefit of the riches which karma has provided him. So this one you should bear in mind, so that you can learn not to make this type of mistake. This type of mistake is very foolish, isn't it? God conditioned to make offering to a particular Buddha. Someone don't have the condition to reap the full merits just because he regretted and repented. Just that thought only, Then the next section is very good also. Beneficent and malficent forces. This one also very powerful. You have to listen. In the working of karma, it should be understood that there are beneficent and malficent forces to counteract and support this self-operating law. That's why law of karma is nature's law, means self-operating. Birth or gati, time or condition, kala, personality or appearances, upadi, and effort, payoga, are such aids and hindrance to the fruition of karma. If, for instance, a person is born in a noble family or in a state of happiness, his fortunate birth will sometimes hinder the fruition of his evil karma. So this one you understand it, We have no condition to ripen, because he happened to be born in a wealthy family, so no need to become experience poverty and all those things. If on the other hand he is born in a state of misery or in an unfortunate family, his unfavorable birth will provide an easy opportunity for his evil karma to operate. That's why there must be condition for karma to fruit. Understand? So if you don't take care of karma, the condition once arise, immediately you will have to experience those friction of the evil thing that you have done. And for it to happen, there must be condition. So how can you avoid low birth? Or how can you receive good, high, noble birth? You have to understand it. Otherwise, how to take that type of birth? That's why if you want to have noble birth or what, you must do certain type of good karmic thing. So, in order to be born into a noble family or a wealthy family, what do you think is the karmic condition behind? How do these people get born into such a householder? Yes, generosity is one of them, yes. Dana parami, but apart from that? Of course, you have to have some form of virtue, but this one is more towards that type of birth. So sometimes when you come to this world, within that civilization, then it's just like your hobby or something that you like, understand? You see all this, then you like make your wish. Let's say you like sport, easier. Or you want to be a famous sportsman, or a state champion, or maybe a school champion. Then later on, like now we have world invitation, world champion. But world champion very difficult. The whole world only one. So school champion first, or kampong, jago kampong. Then you go to the state, then federal. After federal, you compete. Maybe SEA game, then Asian game, then what they call ASEAN game. ASEAN is Asian, sorry. Then you got Commonwealth game, then only Olympic and all those things. Then World Championship. So if you have this type of ambition, you will it, you determine, you will take that type of birth in a family where people can train you to do that type of to excel in that. You understand? So if you go and admire robber and all those things, you also can that one, end up doing all the robbery and all those things. So what you actually love or like, if you determine through your will power, it will come. Then for this noble birth, most of the time it's like if you like that type of birth, that type of life, then you were determined to be a scholar, understand? To study well, then to have that type of what they call, they call it what? The noble birth, they have to have this type of understanding of the noble people's culture, understand? Like the British. You must like that type of thing, then you can have condition to take birth in that. Then you cultivate that, you understand? You practice to speak, walk, and do those things like them. But you heedless, run around the street, and don't care, then very, very heedless, mainly heedless, then don't go and have any what they call ambition to excel in study and become somebody useful that can help society or somebody successful, professional or what. So you will end up like all those people born in the slum, understand? Born in low birth and all those things. Then also mainly because you also like all these people steal, misappropriate people's thing. They are mostly petty theft and all those things because of their birth, and because of their karma. They take birth in those conditions. That's why we have this what they call what do you call already when you are trapped in the poverty cycle, poverty cycle. You know what is a poverty cycle? Very difficult to come out of it, or no? Vicious is also another one, but poverty is very common. So if you are caught in a poverty cycle, especially the olden days, like India, China, very difficult for you to come out. You know why or not? Poverty cycle, because you are born in a very remote place, understand? Where life is very tough and everything is very difficult. And the only way in China to come out is education, understand? To become a zhuangyan or scholar and all those things. So go through exam, and without money, you don't even have the capacity to go for the exam, understand? You don't have proper education, you don't have the means. So you're always stuck in the rural area going through the poverty cycle. It's just like my family when we were in Alostar from China, we came over. Then my father, after he had his fairly good karma, he strike the lottery, remember, the Singapore. Then he got the money. I think his share was 2005. That time, 2005 ringgit was very big. He went back to Alostar, smaller town, bought that shop lot for 200 ringgit only. So, and it come with the house, everything. So we got to stay and he do it. Then actually that kampung is like how I should describe it. It's not too bad and not really the good one, because it's about 4 or 5 kilometers of Alostar town center. But it is a what they call notorious area. Notorious area. Or Chinese village. You know what is Chinese village, yeah? Where a lot of gangster, a lot of all those mostly poor people. Poor people. But not that poor, because we are quite near the city. Compared to the rural area, we are already very, very much fortunate. So what I saw was when we were in that place where I was born, hardly anybody got any proper education. To find somebody who passed standard 6 is very rare. And once a while, you will have somebody who passed Form 3, LC. But most of them don't get to study to Form 1 or so. Sometimes due to poverty, and because that time the schooling, especially my brother, he couldn't go to Form 1, standard 6, he dropped out already. So because of that, he lacked education. Then once a while, like I say, you got somebody who go to Form 3, and most of them fail. Once a blue moon, you see somebody pass Form 3. Then later on, during my time, slightly better. There are more people who pass Form 3, more people. But most of them fail Form 5, or they don't do well. So I was sent to the best school in Kedah, English school, the best English school. And the best school, the whole state, only a few schools got some good students who can really pass Form 5 and manage to go to Form 6. Very, very few. My whole school, I think, about 3 classes in Form 6. That one someone take from other school. So about 30 over students per class. I think about 100 students only go to Form 6. Then go to uni, local U, even more rare. So what I'm trying to tell you is that poverty cycle, if you don't have opportunity through education or what, or you go into business through your relative or your contact, you are stuck in that village. You don't have much choice, because in that village, there is no opportunity. In the sense that you don't have education, you can't even be a teacher. Then not much job opportunity. The only people who hire you are the apprentice. You know what is apprentice or not? If you want to become carpenter, you follow that carpenter, apprentice. No salary, you know. You follow him. Then when you become more skillful, he pay you a little bit of salary. Then the rest is you work for people in the coffee shop. And that one also very difficult to get job, because my whole village got 10 shops only. Chakking tiama. Means 10 shops only. So how many of these shops can hire people? So very, very low condition for you to have a proper job. Then last time we also don't know you can go to the city, become insurance agent, then become a clerk, work for people or what. So that time we were actually off. Only the city people know. Then without education you cannot even apply to the bank for a job or all those things. Then you are not the Malay people, you cannot get government job also. So government job is also that time not easy. And most of this need qualification, academic qualification. So the poverty cycle, once you are in, it's very difficult to come out. So karma, in a way, is like that. If you don't know the Dhamma, it's like you don't have education to get a proper job. You understand? So if you don't know the Dhamma, it's very difficult for you to come out of the karmic cycle. Understand? So the karmic cycle is, in a way, like Pamasuri say, the vicious cycle, understand? Because karma draw you, understand? As long as you don't have the Dhamma, you cannot walk out of it. Every time you come, you kena all the effect of the negative karmic action that you do. So this particular chapter is very important. And for you to be born during the sasana with such good condition, you must have good past parami. But some of you, I realize your karma is mixed. You know what is mixed? You got good condition, but yet you kena karmic thing, understand? Karmic obstruction and karmic negativity. So a lot of this is because during the earlier life when you do all this goodness, you don't have the Dhamma at that time. That's why sometimes you create wrong thought, remorse, then you regret, then you do a lot of funny thinking because you don't have the right view and right understanding. Okay, we will read on. This is technically known as Gati Sampati, favorable birth, and Gati Vipati, unfavorable birth. So an unintelligent person who by some good karma is born in a royal family will on account of his noble parentage be honored by people. If the same person were to have a less fortunate birth, he would not be similarly treated. King Dutagami Gamani of Ceylon, for instance, acquired evil karma by waging war with the Tamils, and good karma by his various religious and social deeds. Owing to his good reproductive karma, he was born in a heavenly blissful state. Tradition says that he will have his last birth in the time of the future Buddha Maitreya. His evil karma cannot, therefore, successfully operate owing to his favorable birth. So this is sometimes, even with good karma, if you don't have the condition, it will not come to fruition. So in this case, he has evil karma. But because he did so much good thing, understand? That's why he got good birth. So his good birth prevent condition for negative karma to arise. So unless you got such parami, you will sure kena. So what was the cause of his good birth? There is written the last paragraph, third line. And good karma by his various religious and social deeds. So now you know this is very powerful, understand? If you really develop the religious routine properly, or religious cultivation properly, and you do a lot of good social activity and work, it will help you. It will give you good birth. Okay, next page. To cite another example, King Ajasattu, who committed parasite became distinguished for his piety and devotion, later only to his association with the Buddha. He now suffered in a woeful state as a result of his heinous crime. You know what is a heinous crime? Eh? The five heavy karma. Eh? The five very heavy karma. His unfavorable birth would not therefore permit him to enjoy the benefit of his good deed. Yeah. That's why he is now suffering in hell, yeah, where the heavy karma will bring you down, very severe. Beauty, upadi, sampati, yeah, and ugliness, upadi, vipati, are two other factors that hinders and favor the working of karma. Yeah. So, you, if you are a lady, you want to be born beautiful or pretty, yeah, you better learn the technique here. If by some good karma a person obtains a happy birth, but unfortunately is deformed, he will not be able fully to enjoy the beneficial result of his good karma. Even a legitimate heir to the throne would not happen. Oh, sorry, may not perhaps be raised to that exalted position if he happens to be physically deformed. Beauty, on the other hand, will be an asset to the possessor. A good-looking son of a poor parent may attract the attention of others and may be able to distinguish himself through their influence. Favorable time or occasion and unfavorable time or occasion, kala sampati and kala vipati, are two other factors that affect the working of karma. The one aids and the other impedes the working of karma. Yeah. So timing is very important, eh? Favorable time or occasion. Eh? So if you are like, you may have very good karma, but you are born in the wrong era, Second World War. Understand? So no condition to take effect. Then if you don't have the good karma to lengthen your life, you may be killed during the war. Understand? Then sometimes you may come during peaceful time, but then you are born in the Middle East. Every time war, or South Africa, where conditions are very. So, the timing and the occasion of birth is very important. Then sometimes you see people born in the Himalayas, and you think they are very charming and all those things. But there are some who came out and have very good life. Do you know that? Especially people who stay in the high altitude area, Nepal, Lada also, and also Bhutan, So you never knew there was an empire or country called Bhutan in the Himalayas area, where the what they call the highest rating for what? Happiness, the country with the highest rating for happiness and green air. Their king is very different. That's why how you are born, the timing, the occasion is very important. Then in the case of famine, all without exception will be compelled to suffer the same fate. So you are born during the war and with famine and all those things. Too bad. Here, the unfavorable condition open up possibility of evil karma to operate. The favorable condition, on the other hand, will prevent the operation of evil karma. So these are the the aspect of karma that you will have to learn. Sometimes it doesn't mean you have evil karma, you should suffer. Because you have certain parami that brings about good birth, then good occasion to arise. So every time this civilization got problem, you will not take birth. Like you look at our life, I come at the transition period, which is very beautiful. I come after World War II. World War II, 1940 and 40 something, and in 44. Then after that, they need time to rebuild the world. Then by the time I was born, 1954, the British and the American that won the war, their education system has already developed. So we become a colony, British colony. So, born at the right time. That's why we grew up with education, very good British education, and all. Even though not in UK. Because my karmic nature, I don't know, I don't like the Kuilo culture. It's different. I prefer China type of culture. Of course, it has some affinity with Thailand also. Mainly these two countries. Then, I don't know. I got no affinity with India. No affinity with Burma. And also, so far, no affinity with what they call Ceylon. Ceylon. Is it Ceylon? Sri Lanka. I never go to this country. I don't know why. But I go to China a lot. I go to Thailand a lot. Okay. The other one is, of this beneficent and malficent forces, the most important is effort by yoga. In the working of karma, effort or lack of effort plays a great part. By present effort, one can create fresh karma, new surrounding, new environment, and even a new world. Though placed in the most favorable circumstances and provided with all the facility, if one makes no strenuous effort, one not only misses golden opportunity, but may also ruin oneself. Personal effect is essential for both worldly and spiritual progress. So you have to understand, this one, they call it personal effort. The actual translation is not effort. It's your perseverance, diligence, understand? Or virya, spiritual zeal and all those things, if you talk about spiritual cultivation. But if you talk about normal, non-spiritual type of event, you have to be diligent, hardworking. Like Mahathir always say, you have to be hardworking. You must have what they call good sense of shame. You understand? He actually learned this from his past life. That's why when he come, he read a lot, and he can understand how these people become successful. Because people who has a sense of shame and are very hardworking, these are the successful people. Then the other one is creative. Creative. Then the mind that has the liking for wisdom. Those who have a lot of, they call it passion. 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 So passion is very, very important. You must have that interest. Okay, we go on. If a person makes no effort to cure himself of a disease or to save diligently, to strive with diligence for his progress, his evil karma will find a suitable opportunity to produce its due effect. That's why don't be lazy. Don't be lazy. This one is very important. If you are lazy, very difficult. Got good condition, good karma also, no use. Maybe you got good parents who can afford your overseas education, but you are lazy. You don't want to study. You don't want to make use of the condition. You prefer to go and mix around with all those funny people. Yeah. So a lot of these things, even during the Buddha's time, he mentioned a few cases. There was a couple. You know this couple. They were very, very wealthy because they inherited from their parents a lot of wealth. Yeah. And because they got the wrong friend, all their wealth actually, 10 generations also cannot finish. Yeah. But he mixed with the wrong people because of the karma. He completely, how you say the word as squander off or simply use the wealth until completely become like very poor, got to beg in the street. Then when the Buddha saw that old couple, he smiled. Then Ananda asked the Buddha, is it? When the Buddha smiled, he knew got something. Then the Buddha said, you look at that couple. If the first 20 years they have diligently strive and develop the cultivation, they would have become arahant. Even later on, if let's say the second 20 year when he was 40 onward, if they strive, they could have become anagami or sakadagami. Then even in their later years, 60s, if they decide to actually cultivate, they still can become a sotapan. But now look at them, he said. Frail, old, and miserable. That's why your karma usually has the condition. And you have the means, the wealth, everything. But you didn't put in the effort. You prefer to squander them off. You prefer to enjoy what they call the senses. So diligent, perseverance, virtue, wisdom, mainly is Dhamma. Spiritual understanding is very important. Yeah, without this, you can fall. And there are many cases during the Buddha's time. He gave a lot of examples. I don't know whether here they got give example or not. Okay, I read on. If on the contrary, he endeavored on his part to surmount his difficulty, to better his circumstances, to make the best use of the rare opportunity to strive strenuously for his real progress, his good karma will come to his, how to pronounce this one, Sakawa. So when shipwrecked in the deep sea, the Bodhisattva Mahajanaka make a great effort to save himself, while the others pray to the gods and left their fate in their hand. The result was that the Bodhisattva escaped while the others were drowned. These two important factors are technically known as Payoga Sampatti and Payoga Vipatti. So making effort to actually save yourself or to diligently learn something or develop the skill is very important, even academic or whatever. Okay, we turn to the next page. Though we are neither absolutely the servant nor the master of all karma. So this one easy to understand. You are not the servant or the master. Servant means what? They can direct you. Master means you can direct them. But karma is not like that. So you are neither the servant nor the master. It is evident from these counteractive and supportive factors that the friction of karma is influenced to some extent by external circumstances surrounding personality, individual striving, and the like. Means even though the karma is already like imprint, understand or not? Means the past is already gone, but it does not dominate over you. You understand or not? You can do a lot of things. If you have wisdom, you know how to avoid the condition. It will not take friction. Yeah. Then also, if you have the understanding, then all this can be reversed, yeah, because it will not affect you. Mm. Then, if you are diligent, hardworking, you can also make a difference. Yeah. That's why you see a lot of people from maybe very difficult condition, means their place of birth, and many other things, you actually say, not much opportunity. You can write them off. Like the place I was born. You know, after I finished my exam for Form 5, and that year I did very well. No? I scored 7 A's no, at that time. And I was the best student for the gold medal in the Hakka Association there. Yeah. Then my school also, I more or less top 3, I think, top 2 or top 3. Then that time, my whole kampong, nobody believed no, that there was a student with 7 A's. No. To pass also very difficult for my, they say go 1-7 A's. No. And that time I was helping my father to look after the medical shop. I was in the shop there. Then one elderly person came in and buy something from me. Then he asked me, "You believe?" I said, "Believe what?" He said, "Our kampong got one student from fire, score 7 A's. You believe?" He asked me, I look at him, I say, "I'm not sure." "You heard from who?" He said, "The whole village is talking about it. Cannot be, lah." He said, "Where got such thing? It is definitely a joke." I said, "Oh." Then I look at him, I don't know what to tell him. I just smile. Maybe we shall find out more, I tell him. He said, "What is there to find out? Cannot be." He just said, "Cannot be." You just imagine. And from such condition, I came out. And I was the only one that was sent to English school, my father sent me. And the best English school, I got 9 brothers and sisters. Why I am the only one, English school and the rest of Chinese school. And was sent to the best school with all the conditions. That's why I tell you, your karma is very powerful. If you don't have the karma, whatever birth, you also will fall. But if you have the karma, wherever you are born, you will come out. You remember Hui Neng? Yeah? Illiterate. Born in a very, very poor environment, rural environment. And yet, he became very famous later on. Somehow things will happen. Your karma will take you. Yeah. And this is very clear. That's why I saw how all these things happen. Yeah. This segmented life, I tell you. You write a biography of my life, I tell you. It is very, very, very interesting. Yeah. A lot of things actually happen. Mm. Okay, we go on. Okay, I just read the first paragraph again. Though we are neither absolutely the servant nor the master of our karma, it is evident from this counteractive and supportive factor that the fruition of karma is influenced to some extent by external circumstances, surrounding, personality, individual striving, and the like. Yeah. Also, by one's understanding, wisdom. Mm. It is this doctrine of karma that gives consolation, hope, reliance, and moral courage to a Buddhist. This is very true. If you are a true Buddhist who has the Dhamma, you can actually understand all this and reverse all this. You don't have to worry about your past karma, understand? Because with the Dhamma, you can change your life. You can transform your life for the better. And it bring you straight all the way up. You never fall after that. That's why here I really have very strong faith to tell you this is true, what is stated. It is this doctrine of karma that give consolation, hope, reliance, and moral courage to a Buddhist. Means somebody who walked the path of Dhamma, cultivate this teaching. You will have a lot of advantage, I tell you, through understanding this teaching. And this teaching, the law of karma, is very complex, very difficult to understand. Okay, next paragraph. We are at page 390, third paragraph. When the unexpected happens, difficulties, failure, and misfortune confront him. The Buddhist realizes that he is reaping what he has sown and is weeping of a past debt. Wiping off a past debt. Instead of resigning himself, leaving everything to karma, he makes a strenuous effort to pull out the weeds and sow. Pull out the weed and sow useful seed in their place, for the future is in his hand. So this one is explaining to you, despite the harsh condition, the negative karma, you can still follow the advice of the Buddha to plant the seed of wholesomeness, avoid all evil, do good, purify the mind, so that the future will be better. That's how you can change your life for the better. He who believes in karma does not condemn even the most corrupt, for they have their chance to reform themselves at any moment. Though bound to suffer in willful state, they have the hope of attaining eternal peace. By their deeds, they create their own hells, and by their own deeds, they can also create their own heavens. So this one is very true about karma. That's why the Buddha's advice is always, no one save you but yourself. No one can and no one may, because everything is related to karma. So even the Buddha, he can only show you the way. You have to cultivate, walk the path yourself. A Buddhist who is fully convinced of the law of karma does not pray to another to be saved, but confidently rely on himself for his own emancipation. Instead of making any self-surrender or propitiating any supernatural agency, he would rely on his own willpower and work insistently for the will and happiness of all. When you understand the Buddhist teaching, especially the law of karma, you will know what to do. You will not do all those superstitious things. Born of what people tell you and all those things. Those are not the real understanding. That's why I say, whatever that happened to you, your life, the Buddha already made it very clear. We are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of our karma. So if you don't take care of karma, you can do what you like. You can go and believe the medium, the feng shui, or all those, what they call fortune teller, they are not going to help you, or supernatural agency and all those things. They are not going to help you, because the actual factor behind your life is karma. If you don't take care of karma, you don't blame anybody. Yeah. Like the Buddha said, you create your own hell, you create your own heaven. Heaven and hell is within your own, what they call deeds. Yeah. Okay. The belief in karma validates his effort and kindles his enthusiasm, because it teaches individual responsibility. To an ordinary Buddhist, karma serves as a deterrent, while to an intellectual, it serves as an incentive to do good. Yeah. So it depends on how you look at it. Yeah. Especially a lot of young Buddhists or new Buddhists, when they don't have the understanding, even keeping the five precepts, they complain. No, he said in Cantonese, ma kao fan, cannot lie, cannot cheat, cannot deceive. He said everything he want to do, he cannot do. Cannot even womanize or sexual misconduct. Nowadays youth, all this cannot honor. So very difficult for them to keep the precept. And most of them, the younger generation, as you can see, they stay together first. They are not interested in getting married. You saw in the new generation. And most of them, when they decide to get married, it means they have enough of it already. Then maybe they think that after they get married, I realize very fast they want to break up. Divorce, all those things, separation. So different era, different thing. Our time one, very faithful one. Most of them last very long. Marry means marry already. Cannot play a fool already. Because the tradition is very, very different. Our time, sometimes in a small town, like my town, you tall sao only, you cannot say you don't know my daughter. No? Tall sao means the father-in-law will come and talk to you already. People saw you both go and see show. Oh, you cannot already. So when are you going to marry my daughter? Well, my daughter cannot be like so cheap, is it? After you already tall sao, who will want her? So that type of tradition. So during our time, I think not easy. But nowadays, not only tall sao, even stay together, so what? After that, they want to change, they just change, like breakfast. Every day, new breakfast. So this one also has karma, but it depends on what type of karma, your mental intention. So if you know the what they call nature's law, law of karma, you will be very careful about the five precepts. And I can give you a very strong advice. Never, never break your precept. I tell you, it's not worthwhile. Not worthwhile. Because the karmic implication is very severe. Never worthwhile. Check tak. Don't think, nobody know. Nobody know. You go and find out later, see anybody know. Law of karma, no secret. Everything you do, your mental intention, automatic recorded in the nature's law. Because your thought, your mental intention is never wiped off. It's stored in that nature's law. And it's very powerful. So the law of karma explains the problem of suffering, the mystery of the so-called fate and predestination of some religion, and above all, the inequality of man. So with this law of karma, there's another paragraph. To an ordinary Buddhist, karma serve as a deterrent. Oh, sorry, that one we have gone through. Okay, so all this law of karma, if you have the understanding, then you can benefit from it. If you don't have the understanding, then you will get yourself entangled. That's why with this understanding of the teaching, this law of karma, you can see very clearly in this world why people are like that. Why are they born within the same family or different? Then some, like you say, they are very lucky. Nothing to do with luck. It's all karma. So a lot of these things, when you start to understand, then you see clearly through your awareness. That's why when I was very young, it's from my past life, I told you that I saw so much suffering, especially my brother's generation. They all, a lot of them, send the six drop out. By the time they age 14, 15 or 16, they get married already, very early. Then I saw a lot of problem in the marriage. Then a lot of family, they suffer. Then a lot of them end up with gangsterism, drugs, violating the society's law and all those things. So all this is, whether you are observant or you are not observant, then it impact upon me when I was young. I saw all this. That's why I make a vow. I don't want to get married. Actually, I make that vow. But then the funny thing is, when I make that vow, something tell me, you better qualify it. Unless I qualify it to save a family. And I don't know why I go and set that condition. And really, later on, that's why I met my wife. Then I saw the family, everything is like that one. So fulfill that condition. That's why I got married this life. Otherwise, when I was studying in the uni and in the school, they know. You know what they call me, my nickname? He Xiao Meng. But there is no Cantonese. Most of them are Hokkien people. They always say, even that whole house that we rented the second year, a group of ladies from Johor, I think, study secretary of course, all those things. They actually only want to rent out the room to university student, undergraduate. They prefer third year and final year. So we all satisfy the condition, third year, final year. And there were, I think, 9 of us, male, undergraduate. They didn't even look at me. They say, He Xiao, they say, Meng. There was one night, I didn't tell you all. There was one night, everybody was out. No? I think it was a Saturday night, where they, most of them have their own activity. I happened to be in the house studying. Then one lady, very popular among the private sector working people, they come with BMW to fetch her. No? Then I think she was tutored. No? And I didn't know that night. The funny thing is, while I was studying, she played that song, I Don't Like to Sleep Alone. No? I don't like sleep alone. Stay with me. Don't go. Play until I know how to sing. No? I never know that song. No? It played for more than 40 over time that night. Then I also keep quiet. I stay in the room. Then the next morning, breakfast time, they were talking, where they go and all those things. Then they found out, I didn't go out. Then they also know this housemate, jilted. Then after that, they come and ask me, are you alone? No. Whole night, and she jilted, anything happened? No? I say, yeah. That the recorder play that song, I Don't Like to Sleep Alone. Give you such good hint also you don't understand. I don't like to sleep. Stay with me and go. I say, say she didn't even know I was in the house. So what else can happen? That's why the next day they laughed. They say, no wonder her Xiao is a monk. But later on, that lady recovered. There another banker. This one is second choice one. Bo Hu Hei Ya Ho. You understand? Mo Yi Ha Do Ho. So this banker very lucky. Bank boomy one. Don't have BMW one, but got a car. So finally, this lady agreed to marry him. And he happened to be one of, I think from my hometown, state, Kedah. I forgot his name already. So karma, you will know. When you have good karma, things will go your way. But you will come to understand, you will see a weakness all this. Never worthwhile to break the precept. Never worthwhile to do all this funny thing. That's why you want to avoid suffering, take care of karma. You want to have the good life, take care of karma. Everything you want, if you take care of karma, you can create the condition for it. You only have to make aspiration. So they call it the Buddhists call it the wisdom that enable you to invoke power or merits. But for normal lay people, it's willpower, understand not? You must will it, have passion. You love that thing, that sports or that career. Then you will it. Then you work towards it diligently. The four, what they call, the Buddha taught the four bases of success. Remember? The four bases of success. So it's all there. So these four things you must have if you want to be successful in life for lay people. For spiritual people, you need the spiritual faculty. That's all. Okay. Next part. We are the architect of our own fate. We are our own creator. We are our own destroyer. We build our own heaven. We build our own hell. That's why whatever that happened to you, you cannot blame anybody except your own karma. You reap what you sow. So you are what you are. So whatever you become of is 100% karma. Karmically driven. What we think, speak and do becomes our own. It is these thought, words and deeds that assume the name of karma and pass from life to life, exalting and degrading us in the course of our wandering in samsara. So the Buddha has this famous quote. We finish this, then we can end. This is under the Kindle Sayings, page 98. Man's merits and the sins he here had wrought. That is the thing he owns, that takes he hands. That dogs his steps like shadow in pursuit. Hence let him make good store for life elsewhere. Sure, platform in some other future world. Reward of virtue on good beings wait. Well, this one is like the very difficult English literature type of English. I also cannot understand. Never mind. We just skip. Okay. We stop here. 10:30. We finish. So next one is chapter 22. What is the origin of life? This one is also interesting. Do you know what is the origin of life? You want to know? Go back and read that chapter. Origin of life. So how did you come about? How did you come about? Who are you? What are you? How were you born? Don't tell you. Don't tell me my father, mother. I was born because of my father decided to marry my mother. That one is biology, what they call, according to biology. But the real answer is different. The origin of life. How did life take place? And the Buddha has a very, very good answer. So at first you want him to tell you, he didn't reveal. He didn't really say anything. He said inconceivable is the beginning of the first thought of ignorance. That condition you to become what you are. Inconceivable means you cannot think about it unless you are Sammasambuddha. And that is how powerful the law of karma is. So because of karma, you continue to have this birth and death, samsara. But the first thought of ignorance, that condition, perpetual birth, since the very, very beginningless time, is not comprehensible by normal being. Not easy, because it's too long, too long. That's why most of us have wandered for aeons and aeons and aeons and aeons of existence. Okay, 10:30, my wife's alarm, very good. So if you got any question, maybe next Tuesday, you can ask. Then this Thursday, I think they want to discuss a very interesting topic. I think you all saw the video. Is there any title or not, the video? I don't see any title. Mrs. Ho sent me a WhatsApp earlier on before Padmasuri. He said, Brother Teo, is the video real? Not to say the video not real, the video is definitely real. But is what that lady say in the video real? What do you think? Yun Chan haven't listened. Oh, you go back and listen. It's very interesting. This one, I tell you, a lot of Dhamma inside there. And this lady, maybe on Thursday I will explain the thing. But I have some answer. You read my answer to Madam Ho, you will know. How many of you have read my answer? Do you understand what I say or not? Because what was mentioned inside there, that lady went through, she actually died. She actually died. She has cancer and all those things. No, he died. She died. Yeah, that awareness. You see, when you die, you will go through that phase very fast. It come out very fast. But very few people can have the chance to recall and come back as a human being to tell you the story. Most people, I already explained last time, the karmic consciousness take over. Remember the previous class? You can't even want to maintain mindfulness because before the last death moment, or death consciousness arise, the karmic consciousness take over already. You don't stand a chance. So what can happen is, if you are a cultivator, if you have your past cultivation, you have this awareness or not, you will know how to die. You will not die like that. Then most people, when the karmic consciousness take over, the death proximity karma will come about. And the death proximity means near to death type of karma will arise. They got a sequence, you remember? According to the chapter we went through, The first sequence is the heavy karma, heinous type of karma. If you don't have that, then the next one will come. Means the thing that you do before you die. Understand? Then if that one is not strong, you got the habitual tendency that you used to do, then that one will take over. Yeah. So all these are karmic consciousness already gone. You got no way of controlling it. You cannot do anything to it. But the cultivator is different. They know how to die. They can see the whole process. Yeah. Then most of these people who die after the death consciousness, even some of them who go through near-death experience, before they really go off, they actually went through a phase. Mahayana teaching got talk about it. Even Xuan Hua also mentioned. It will go through very fast. Like a very fast, supersonic type of script. Very fast, it flashed through your mind to show you everything that you have done the life before you die. That very life. And you will know why your karma like that. And what happened to you. Yeah. And like this lady say, why she has to go through that cancer and all those things. Show it to her. Then he can like feel and sense. Because his awareness is no longer, we are not trapped in the body, came out. Then that nature, when it go through that flesh, he has the past cultivation. That's why he has that awareness. Then he cannot describe to you, he use a example. He said like in a warehouse, pitch dark, no light. Then you got a flashlight. That one can show you around. Yeah. So this flashlight is actually your awareness, is it? Your awareness. Without awareness, you are in a complete dark. Yeah. Then there is fear, all those things. There's a karmic thing, oh, take over. Yeah. But she didn't explain all those things. But she only know that five things that she learned help her. And the five things are very useful. It's linked to our Buddhist teaching, Dhamma. How many of you can remember the five things that he learned? Second one, that one. First one, love thyself. Be yourself is the last one. Love thyself. When you can love yourself, you can love others. Then second lesson is live a life without fear. Don't fear death. Don't fear disease. Don't fear old age. Don't go and develop unnecessary fear. Because these are very negative energy field tendency. Then number three. Who can remember? Huh? Number three is very good. No? Develop what? Huh? Humor? Some more? Huh? Ah, have humor, laugh, and have joy, understand? Then you live very long, understand? He said less people with disease, less hospital, less people die. Everything less. Why? When you have humor, when you have laughter and joy, it's better than what? Stress, sorrow, lamentation, misery, fear. This is very positive. You must have this. Even the kid also know how to have this. They laugh a lot, isn't it? They have a lot of joy, a lot of fun. But human beings become miserable as they grow up. The older they become, they got more problem. You realize or not? When you are very young, you are very happy-go-lucky. That's why they say your childhood day, your student day is your best day of your life. Yeah? Yeah. Then the fourth one is that. Yeah? Value your life. Understand? You know what is value your life? What? Life is what? Ah, correct. Then 什么 All your challenges are your gift. Understand? What is challenges? When you get sick, understand? When you become jilted, miserable. He said, this is what karma is all about. Our body has a self-defense mechanism. Understand? Whatever that is wrong, it will show you through what? Pain, disease, all the negativity of mental state. That's why he said your life is very, very valuable. Understand? And all your challenges are your gift, understand? From life. So all this karmic thing is to tell you you have lived your life wrongly, understand? You have created all this karmic negativity that make you like that. And you somehow don't know how to wake up. So this lady, after he went through that karmic thing, he understand why he had this cancer. He said it's not the cancer that killed him. It's the negativity of mind state. He don't love herself. He do all the nonsense that killed him, her. Understand? Then he said, the father, he like can sense where the father is. The father must be a cultivator also. Because during this time, he said, her consciousness, her awareness can be like simultaneously all one. Whoever he's aware of, he's there. The brother want to take a flight to come, the sister, the parent, the doctor, everything. He is like sharing the same consciousness. You can feel them. Yeah. When you are out of the body, when you have awareness, your nature is like that. It's the oneness nature. And there's a lot of things somehow she doesn't understand yet. Because she only came out for a while. And she was very lucky because the father knew. The father communicated with her and told her, your time is not up yet. You should return to your body and understand all this, then live a proper life. And you know what the daughter said? I don't want to go back to that body. It's full of cancer and all of the tumor, everything you ask me to go back for what? So she reluctant, no. Then finally, she got this from inside, tell her. She must have cultivated before. He said, if you know what happened and what caused you this, you will heal. You will recover. That's why he decided to go in. The moment he went in, he trapped inside the body. Cannot do anything. The tumor all severe. But she knew she will recover. She want to communicate with the brother, sister, but she can't. But she knew she will recover. And the doctor was so surprised. Within 5 days, the tumor shrink by 70%. And within 2 weeks or what, she walked out of the hospital. Fully recovered. Cancer, dying person. Actually, she died. But how she went in, I think the father helped her. Yeah. But when she was in the body, she's totally like paralyzed, cannot do anything. Stay with that cancerous, rotten body. But it healed because he started to love himself, herself, and herself. She no longer like last time, with all the negativity of mind state. Can't accept all this. With all the fear. Once that one all gone, she recovered. And also the nature helped to heal. So all these are possible. That's why I replied to Madam Ho. When you have developed the awareness, all these are possible. When your consciousness is out, all these are possible. Then I told her, she asked me, is it because of her don't know what karma? I said, no. Past cultivation. Otherwise you cannot do this. You can't even maintain the awareness. Then it's because of that condition she has. The father also have. And she managed to come back and tell the story. And this is very rare. Like 9 years old, I came out and then I came back and I can tell you the story. It's very rare. And I also give a hint. You go and listen to the Thursday class talk. When you die already, this random of consciousness that come out, you have the awareness and the understanding, you can do a lot of things with it. You can use it. That's why I say I don't want to talk about that because that is a totally different field. You can listen. That's why I tell you, recently the sharing come out is completely different. That's why we start the cultivating the Bodhisattva way and all those things. And now you will start to see all these questions coming out because this type of Dhamma want to come out. This type of teaching want to come out. And nobody can tell you all this because these are not written in the book. Even near-death experience, so a lot of people don't understand and they were so excited about it. Near-death experience is nothing compared to all this. And this one is really, she used the word awareness now. And he can even tell you what this awareness is. He said, like that go down, the whole pitch dark go down with the small torchlight. He said, if suddenly the flashlight all come out, then you can see everything. He said, the whole go down is, then you saw so many shots, so many things. Actually, you never know, you never understood. This means she doesn't know what that state is. This means when your nature shines forth, when you are really cultivating and you realize your true nature, then your mundane mind collapse, then that nature shine forth. It's like that flashlight flash through. Your whole awareness come out. That is what that mind is. And even trapped in this body, it can be like that. That's why it's fully aware. It's just aware. The only difference is, without the physical body, you can do all those things, so what? Understand? Who will know? Only you will know. You cannot come back and tell the world. But now she come back in this body, she tell the world, who will believe her? That's why Madam Ho said, Brother Teo, real. Because to you, it's like magic. Isn't it? It's like, in Cantonese, kam kwa jiong. Kam san ke. But really, it can happen because people who understand, they will know. This is what awareness is all about. That nature is all about. That true mind. That's why Huining say, go to your true nature. Mundane mind is actually a very small part of consciousness. And it's within the conditional. The true mind, the unconditioned, the awareness, that nature is very different. That's why scientists cannot penetrate that one. And now, exceeded by 15 minutes. Okay, let us share merits. Okay. Akasata ca bumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakantu lokasasana itawata ca amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabbasampati siddhiya idang menyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatyo idang menyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatyo idang menyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatyo imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo Satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya sadu sadu sadu. Okay, pay respect to all the worthy ones that we have.